Good morning, everybody. This is Lenny Lawson, the car guru. I'm overcoming my depression from yesterday. I just do not like sending big checks to Washington. But it's not like they give me a choice. You know, if you don't do what they insist that you do, then they can send the bad men to visit. And who knows? You know, they may find nothing and all is good. And they shake your hand, give you some bazooka bubble gum like my barber used to do. Or they may say, hey, you owe us some more. We found this, so it's not worth the risk. So send it in, right? Do your civic duty. Pay your taxes. I have been getting some interesting emails from folks about their project cars, things that they currently own, that they want to, you know, they want my advice on whether they should upgrade and how they should upgrade and basically what it would cost to do that. Also, whether they should just buy something at all. You know, I think that's so important, especially in the classic car game, is that if, you know, you got to really picture yourself owning something like that. You know, what are you going to do with it? Like, I've got this young man that is interested in buying a 66 Mustang that I have. And I said, okay, I think the way you need to look at this is from these four perspectives. Number one, will you use it once you own it? Many times the reality of owning something like a vintage car is not near as good as the idea of owning it. And, you know, we see something really pretty at a car show and say, man, I'd like to have that. That brings back so many memories. Well, you know, take a picture then. You know, don't go out and spend $30,000, $40,000, $50,000 on a car unless you are committed to that car. And also remember that antiques tend to deteriorate. And as that happens, you have to be prepared to spend the money to keep them in good condition. You know, sometimes these old paint jobs, they may be nearing the end of their life when you acquire the car, like on a 10 or 15-year-old restoration. Okay, so will you use it? Number two, will you enjoy using it? Taking it to Pigeon Forge and going to the Rod Run, yeah, it's fun, you know, and you meet a lot of people, see a lot of interesting cars. You know, driving down the interstate with no air conditioning and a loud motor roaring in your ears, not exactly my idea of fun, unless you're feeling real nostalgic. And I get that way sometimes, but most of the time, at my age, I just want to be comfortable. I want a soft seat, good air conditioning, and satellite radio. So, you know, will you enjoy using it? Important question. Number three, is it a good investment? You know, a lot of old cars just aren't. They are not good investments. You can look at the trend line on a lot of these old cars, and you can see whether they're going up or going down. That doesn't mean yours will. It depends on, you know, how your car is classified. I use Hagerty.com and their valuation tool. And it tells you how to classify a car. Gives you a good idea. It's kind of vague, though, at times. You know, what's a number one car, a number two car, three, four, and so forth? You have to kind of know what the important categories are in order to be able to evaluate them. And then know what you're talking about, because I've had a lot of people look at this the 56 Thunderbird that I have and said, boy, that's a pretty car. And it is. It's pretty. But, you know, it's a, I don't know, 45-year-old restoration, and you get close and you can see all the sanding scratches that have come through the paint. You know, the paint just recedes over time into the body and starts cracking, and you know, it passes the 25-foot test. The 5-foot test, it fails. But still, I mean, it's a nice-looking car, and it's something that somebody could enjoy driving. Now, I wouldn't go very far in it. I wouldn't really want to drive this to Myrtle Beach. Of course, I don't want to go to Myrtle Beach anyway, but or Hilton Head, wherever. Maybe to Pigeon Forge, something like that, and you can be relatively comfortable. But you just got to think about the investment value of the car. Do you care if it's going to be if it's going to appreciate in value? A lot of people don't. You know, it may be your granddad's old car, or it might be something that you've just always wanted, and you don't care if it appreciates in value. You just want it. You just want to own it. There's a lot of people buy stuff just because they want it in their garage. They want to say they own it, and they can go out there and look at it when they want to. There's all kinds of motivations, aren't there? You don't have to be motivated by the same things that motivate me, for example. The fourth consideration is, can you afford it? Now, I personally don't think that a person should buy a vintage car or a play car if they have to finance it. I think that, and you may say, well, that's totally unrealistic. I mean, a lot of people don't have money, and I agree with that. But you've got to, I mean, if you have to finance it, can you get a good rate? I mean, can you pay half down? You know, it shouldn't be like just a regular daily expense, in my mind, a part of your budget, unless you just want it to be. I mean, it should be your play money. I mean, I go to these auctions down at Amelia Island, the Gooding auction and the RM auction, Bonhams, and I watch these people spend multiples of millions of dollars, and I'm thinking, that is their play money. Think about what they really have. I wonder how many houses they own, and you start speculating. What you can't do, though, is let that feeling infect you and make you feel like Superman and you can hold up your hand and buy something. You know, there's this classic car auction coming up in Johnson City this weekend, and I recommend you go if you want to see see what an automobile auction is like. Now, this is not going to be like the auctions that I go to for regular cars. The pace at those types of auctions is a car will sit there for maybe 15 seconds before it's moved out, and they're bidding on the car that just left while there's a car being pulled up in front of or behind it. And so you've got to really stay up on things. This auction won't be like that. This will be more like if you watch the Barrett Jackson auction on TV or the Meekum auction, that car sits there for a little while. They're going to drag it out, see how much money they can get. I think they're only going to have 125, maybe. They might have more cars than that. I don't know how their registration is going to be or work out. But still interesting to sit there and watch. This auction is open to the public. Like I say, I think it starts at 10 a.m. this Saturday, this coming Saturday, at where the Ford dealership used to be on Princeton Road there, right up the street from Evergreen Garden Center. Yeah, it used to be Ramey Ford, and then it became Johnson City Ford. And then they moved, and they sold that, and now it's Dealer's Auto Auction. So you do not have to be a dealer to attend. I will be there watching. I've got five cars, hopefully, maybe four. I may sell one of them before I get there. I don't know. But it will be interesting for you if you've never been to an automobile auction. So come on down, and I'll probably see you there. I'm going to take my first break, and then I'll be back here in just a minute. All right, I'm back. You know, I do talk a lot about old cars, I guess, because I really do love some old cars, not all. I appreciate the history as much as anything. I love the history on this 66 Mustang I've got out here in the showroom. You need to come see that car. Oh, by the way, we are having a Cars and Coffee event also on the date of that auction. The Cars and Coffee event. Have you ever heard of a Cars and Coffee event? That's where you have cars and somebody serves coffee. And we're doing it right beside Gateway Ford in Greenville and Gateway Nissan. You can drive down, come down around, well, you don't have to come early. We start at 8 a.m. You may not be out of bed by that point. And we are going to stop at 11. Now, I'm going to leave probably around 10 because I had to go to Johnson City to the auction. But the Cars and Coffee event is where you bring your interesting car and you park it so other people can see it and you can meander around, look at other people's cars, and you just shoot the breeze and talk about cars. Ladies, doesn't that sound like fun? Some of you are saying, what? Why would you want to do that? I'd rather watch HGTV. Well, you can do that, but I would recommend that you come down and just visit. You can come over to Gateway and check out some of the new cars if you want to. Don't have to. I promise I won't stick my salespeople on you. Just come around, look, see my new Nissan showroom, which I really like and proud of it. I hate to say that, but I am. I'm going to have my 1978 280Z here that I bought from a listener that I love. That's a keeper. And it's only got 67,000 actual miles. I'm going to have my 2022 Chevrolet Corvette C8 model Z51 with the 3LT package. You don't know what that means, do you? Well, if you've ordered a Corvette before, you know what that means. Pretty cool car. 2005 Porsche 911 yellow. That's going to be here. My 1970 Ford Bronco. My 65 Corvair convertible. I don't know what else I can get here. I'll just have to see. Oh, I'm going to bring the Corvair 90. This is a Corvair truck. It's referred to as the ramp side, so you might want to check it out. But I'm just going to have like five or six cars down here that I've talked about on the air and stuff. And then, of course, you're welcome to bring yours, and there'll be a whole lot more, hopefully, other people, a lot of Corvettes and hopefully some Porsches and vintage British cars and maybe even some cars that the young folks like fixed-up Civics and diesel trucks and stuff like that. I mean, we don't discriminate when it comes to the type of car. Just don't bring like a 1998 Chevy Malibu four-door. Nobody is really going to be interested in that. I mean, it gets you from point A to point B, but that's about it. So don't bring those cars. You can drive it down, though. I mean, if you don't have an interesting car to show, just park over there park at Gateway or on the other side at Aubrey's, the restaurant, and you can meander around and look at cars, because that's what it's about. It's about the celebration of the automobile. But right now, I want to talk a little bit about an Edmunds.com article that I read recently about the 11 biggest mistakes that car shoppers make, and I'm just kind of going to review some of these. You know, there's a lot of pitfalls that you can fall into when you're buying a new or used vehicle. It's really different right now because it is a seller's market. I've never seen it like this in my 40-plus years of being in the car business. It's always been a buyer's market. It's never been a seller's market. And what exactly does that mean? Well, it means there are more buyers than there are cars. And you got a lot of buyers chasing after fewer cars. And what does that always do to price? If you had economics 101, the law of supply and demand, when the demand exceeds the supply, you have upward price mobility. And that's what we have seen. I am paying over MSRP for some inventory just to have stuff to sell. So if I'm paying over MSRP for it, then some buyers are going to have to pay me a little bit over MSRP for it. I don't like that. It's so out of, I don't know, it's just against the grain. I mean, we've never really sold anything over MSRP, but right now we have such, and not just we, but everybody has such low inventory. You know, you see a lot of dealers screaming low price, lowest prices, biggest trade allowances. It's all baloney. It's just, that's not what happens when you get there. You know, the ones who are screaming the loudest and offering, you know, millions of dollars over book value for your trade-in and free this and free that, it's not real, folks, and you know it. You just, you know, you want to believe them because they are on the radio, right? And everything that comes to over the radio, like this show, is the truth. But anyway, when you're shopping for a car, let's look at some of the mistakes. They say number one is skipping the research phase. I don't disagree with that. I think research is important. It helps you understand what you want and why you want it. You know, as far as for me, there's never a substitute for space. Now, there's not a lot of space in that Corvette, but it does have a rear trunk and a front trunk or a frunk. And there is space if my wife and I want to go over to the Grove Park Inn and spend the night or, you know, go down to Greenville, South Carolina and stay on Main Street. Beautiful place. But you got to do the research. And you got to make sure if you got kids that the child seats will fit in the back and the kids' feet and legs won't be crammed all up behind the passenger seat. You know, that's one of the things my daughter bought a Bronco, and when we put the kids in the back, I have to scoot. If I'm the passenger, my daughter wants to drive it all the time, so I'm usually the passenger. I have to scoot seat way up, and then my knees are hitting the dash. So you need to understand that. Do the research. Shopping at just one dealership is a mistake. You know, you don't even have to go to dealerships now. You just shop online and call. But I think it's important to get into the store and get to meet the people and kind of get a feel for the atmosphere. I know you're not going out to eat, but the atmosphere is important because that will translate to the atmosphere when you go in to get your car serviced and whether these people are really going to take good care of you or not. And if they're just a bunch of sleazy characters and they're smoking and spitting and chewing and doing all that kind of stuff, then you may not want to do business there. Just me saying. Number three is ignoring the internet department. I agree with that. I think that is a pain-free way to go about shopping for a car, is find out what they have in stock through the internet department. Because if you just speak to a salesperson, one of the things you might hear them say is, "Yes, sir, we have a great availability of those." They're just trying to get you to come in. They don't have them. They don't have them in stock. They just hope that they can get them. And at one point, you could dealer trade for stuff. But right now, that's really hard because dealers don't have anything. Number four, focusing on the monthly payment. Big mistake. You've got to know what you can afford based on the monthly payment. But folks, don't buy the car based on the monthly payment. Buy the car based on the selling price minus the trade and then how much trading difference you're having to pay. Then you got to look at the fees and look at what else they're trying to sell you and pack in that payment. Now, packing payments is illegal. So if you walk into a finance office and they say, "Oh, by the way, this includes a factory warranty and includes gap insurance and so forth and so on," you need to get up and just walk out because they have packed your payment full of that stuff and now they're going to try to make you believe that you need it. Now, you may need it, but for goodness sake, you want to be able to know what your base payment is first and then add that stuff on if you need it. You want to be an intelligent consumer. You don't want to be somebody that's getting something packed in there that you don't know about. Also, number five, not doing an appraisal on your trade-in. Now, you can't appraise your trade-in. You know, your trade-in is worth what somebody's willing to pay for it. I sent a customer to, I gave him several resources that he could use to find out what he could get for his car, and he ended up going with a CarMax purchase. And so that worked out well for him. But that's not for everybody. But you need to know what your trade-in is worth approximately before you walk into a dealership to trade it. Because when you walk into a dealership to trade it, they're going to tell you what their opinion is and how much they want to put into it so that they can turn around and sell and make a profit. That's okay. I mean, I want to make a profit on your used car if you trade it into me. But you've got to get several opinions to really know what it's worth. Number six, failing to do a test drive. I'm going too fast. I apologize. Never buy a car without driving it first. I don't care if it's a brand new car. It may have a lot of road noise and you don't like it. I just drove a Ford Maverick and it has a certain kind of tire on it that creates a lot of road noise. And I would not like listening to that all the time. Now, I'm old and young people apparently don't hear road noise like old people do. But, you know, Hondas tend to have a lot of road noise. I think it's because they use really hard composite tires. But anyway, I've always complained about Hondas because they have so much road noise. You may not like that. That may send you down to the Toyota store. Okay, well, let's take our last break, and I'll be back and finish this up. Okay, Car Guru is back here telling you 11 things that you need to do, according to Edmunds.com, before you buy a car. And I agree with all of them so far, number six especially, take a test drive. Also, make sure that you can see out of it, that you can back into a parking place, that the rear view camera works well, but also that it has adequate mirrors on it so that you can see. The camera does not show you everything. The mirrors will show other things that you probably need to see. I almost backed into my parts truck the other day because I was just trusting the camera, but I had it cut really sharp and I could not see until I looked in my mirror. I said, "Whoa." And so I had to stop. So test drive the car, make sure you can park it and get in and out of it. That's important as well. Skipping a call to your insurance agent is number seven. Yeah, you better know what your insurance is going to cost you because that could be a negative surprise. Imagine buying a car on Saturday and driving it off. You've paid for it, signed all the contract. On Monday, you finally get around to calling your agent. And he said, "By the way, that's going to be $2,500 a year. And you were paying $1,200 before." You're going to swallow hard. You might try to take the car back to the dealership, but they won't take it back because they don't have to. Number eight, buying from a salesperson you don't trust. If you get a bad feeling from a salesperson, just don't buy from them. I mean, just stop or ask for another salesperson or just leave. That's all I can say. You know, you understand what pressure looks like. You do. You're really excited about buying a car, and some of the stuff they say is pretty jicky, as we say in the car business. So don't buy from a salesperson you don't trust, because he won't be there for you when you have to go back to get your floor mats. Underestimating the importance of finance. No, yeah, you got to know what your credit's like, folks. Don't go in not knowing what you're going to face as far as credit is concerned. Get pre-approved for a loan if you can. I think that's important. Buying under pressure, again, you know what pressure feels like. You know when the salesperson's over there and he's saying, come on, folks, you deserve this. Go ahead and do it. Go ahead. You know, that's not what you need. They're just trying to pressure you into buying. Don't succumb to that. There is no law that says that you can't get up and walk out, or you just say, I want to think about it. Matter of fact, I tell all buyers, please, go home and think about it. If you're not ready, if you're not 100%, just go home and think about it. And I would say that probably 75% come back and buy the car anyway. And 25% do think about it. They wait. They put it off. Some of them come back and buy. And then 5% of them, they just never come back. And they say, honey, we really don't need to do this. And if you're in that 5%, you got to be careful, folks. There's no reason to force it. I skipped one. We already kind of talked about it. Taking the dealership financing without shopping around. Usually dealership financing is the best because they can go through any credit union, any bank, through the captives like, you know, Toyota Motor Credit, Ford Motor Credit, and so forth. They'll find you the best deal if you ask them. If you're dealing with legitimate people, they will. Okay, so I'm done, and I want to see you down in Greenville on Saturday morning, 8 a.m. I'll be here, Cars and Coffee. I'll provide the coffee and the donuts and stuff like that. That's on me. And then hopefully we'll have some cool cars to look at. I'm anticipating somewhere between 50 and 5,000 cars, probably closer to 50. And then we'll go to the auction in Johnson City and watch a bunch of cars sell, and you might want to buy one of them too. But think about it first, right? All right, thanks for listening to this edition of My Car Guru. I'm Lenny Lawson. Call me 423-552-2020 if I can help you. We'll see you tomorrow.